It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than an angry liberal woman with a keyboard and free time. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, all alone in the Davin's Den studios, but not alone in the radio show. We got Joe Curry in the studio in Long Island.
Hello, hello.
And we got Pip Helix at Cat Central, wherever the hell she lives.
Hi, everybody. On location at Cat Central.
Yes, on location at Cat Central. Well, you can't call in today because they're doing that. But you can listen in the Den Pen, and Pip will entertain you there if you'd like. Go to davinsden.com, click on air, a little chat room comes up. You have a good time. Knock yourselves out with that. On the show, the beginning of Davin's Den countdown season, the kickoff, the Valentine's Day love fail, anti-Valentine's Day shows. I believe, if my history is correct, although I usually win them all, this is the one where you guys fare the best. Am I right with that?
I think so.
We do pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like you guys get on the board on this. So that should be interesting. That's always a fun show. And we have Ann Jackson, you know, as she slips into the abyss of sanity. So we'll do that.
In and out of the abyss.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, better yet, in and out of the abyss. So we got a full show. Joe, we don't usually have you for this segment. Is there anything going on in your life that we should be appraised of?
Just lousy driving in snow, but that's pretty much it.
No, we get that all the time with you.
Yeah.
Pip, anything we need to know? Otherwise, I got a bunch of stuff.
Not really.
All right. Then I shall carry this segment. So, I'm driving past the billboard. You drive past the billboard, and I got to tell you, I don't know. God is everywhere on these billboards. I mean, it's a very old form of advertising, but usually the Christians got them, and now the Jews got God. Always advertising the God. God is everywhere.
Always advertising the God.
Yeah. I mean, you listen, he's God. He can write in the sky. He has that power. Do a miracle in front of me. That'll convince me. A billboard's not convincing me, but I digress.
Well, you know, they have those little signboards that say some kind of Bible verse, and I'm like, I'm not going to remember that number by the time I go home to look it up. I have no idea what that means.
And your eyes,
so I never looked them up.
Your eyes should be on the road, and your hands are 10 and 2. Why the hell are you looking on the side for God?
Yeah, really.
I have no idea.
That's a good way to meet him quicker, though.
Yeah, right. You wind up with holding a steering wheel. Put
yeah.
the steering wheel down, okay? All right, God.
My next thought would be, oh, you do exist. Damn.
Well, that's what mine would probably be too. So I'm driving past, and it featured Orthodox Jews learning from the Torah, which is their Bible, and it said something to the effect that said, always with you. And what's it with religion that always makes God a creepy McCreeperson? It's like he's always got to be with you, like he's needy or something.
No, he's watching over you. He's always there.
Yeah, that doesn't give me comfort. I'm doing shit I don't want him to say.
Well, but he can turn his head around. He knows everything. You know, but sometimes he'll turn his head the other way.
No, that's not the God I want. I want the God that'll be there if I call him. Otherwise, I'm sure there's other people that need his attention. I don't need him looking at me while I'm doing awful things. Then I got to hear about that shit when it's like Judgment Day? Fuck that.
God is everywhere. Like, if you're doing something you don't want you to see, you go, all right, I'll knock off and make a tornado for a couple of minutes and come back.
No.
No, that's the way it works.
So you bought in. You want God everywhere.
I want God everywhere.
I don't. I wish God was like Superman, and there's just like some things his X-ray vision can't see through.
No, I agree with you. I don't even like when you're in a hotel room and there's pictures with eyes. Don't look at me.
Well, that's just the clerk. He has no bearing on whether you go to heaven or hell.
Yeah, but God's a classy guy. That's how we got to be God.
How do you know?
Because that's in your Bible.
Listen, we've already learned, and I don't want to get political yet, but we've already learned you don't have to be a classy guy to reach great heights. God can be the biggest perv of the perverts. We don't know.
Look, believe me, there's no Me Too against God.
How do you know? You don't know what's going on underneath that long flowing robe.
Already. You would have heard about it already. But a lot of it.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah. We did. She was called the Virgin Mary.
I was just thinking that. She's like, no, hands off. And God's like, I'll show you.
Right.
Yeah. Did she have any say in that whatsoever?
None.
I think so.
No.
And it was an immaculate conception, not even a mess. No wet spot on the bed. Everything was good.
Yeah, but it ruins her body. She's got the stretch marks and everything. There was no Pilates back then.
Well, don't bring up a Greek philosopher now. That has nothing to do with it.
Sorry, Jerry. I don't know what I was thinking.
Pilates.
No, you know what it was? This is before man invented Netflix. God's roaming around up in heaven. There's not much to do. He sees some broad in a friggin' farm. He goes, hey, let me mess with her. Next thing you know, she's got a kid. And not only a kid, the Lord and Savior, you know?
Hey.
No, that's because he's bored. That's because he's...
No, let me tell you something. It kind of calmed God down because back in the early days, God was sore as hell at everything. You know, if he looked down and didn't see what he liked, he drowned everybody or throw fire or locusts and stuff like that. You know, he probably thought, you know what, man, I need to get laid. Yeah.
So basically Jesus was born because God needed to take the edge off.
Well, that's why he had Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw a good time everybody was having. It's like, if I can't have a good time, nobody's going to have one. So that's why he took care of that.
Which is why you don't want God watching you now. Those people were having a good time. He got all bent out of shape.
Yeah, well, then God joined the fun, said, you know, this isn't too bad.
Yeah, but if you don't want that happen again, you shouldn't want God watching you. We know of your debauchery, and that's because you told us. He sees it firsthand.
I know, but, you know.
I think there's something to this, though, because if you think about the Old Testament God, he was all vengeful and fury. Sore as hell. And then he banged the Virgin Mary. He got the edge off. Kinder, gentler God.
Yeah.
And then he banged the Virgin Mary. Which psalm is that in?
I think that's not Genesis. When did that whole New Testament start?
Yeah, that's a reading from Dice Clay.
And then God went, a-gush, a-gush, here's your Jesus, a-gush, a-gush, a-gush.
I got your Savior here. He's over here now.
You know what happened was Mary was in the barn. She was bored. She said, "See monkeys and jizz. See where monkeys and jizz. Where is God? Oh, there he is." And next thing you know, she had Jesus.
See? Only God-like people get that. Song.
Absolutely. You should embrace it much more now, Joe.
Well, you know, now that I'm not coming downstairs and shit traffic for 2.5 hours, I'm a little more, and I'm sitting in my own home right now. I'm a little more lenient with it.
Yeah, but there's no reason to sing it now. You're here. You're at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
We're not wondering where is Joe.
Did he over to warm office will do that to you.
All right, well, don't get used to it.
Yeah. Funny, I'm still doing the same routine I do there. I just took my jacket off. I still have my hat on.
Ah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because I just walked in when you called, you know, so it's like, you know, my unwinding time.
But to take this further, you know, we're more of a solo animal now. We got people used to be more of a tribal pack animal. Now we like to do things alone. So do you think it's more or less comforting to think God's always there?
Well, Slow down. I mean, I don't know about Pip, but you and I are loners and don't care to be around people, so I don't know if that's a fair evaluation of
But people don't care to be around Pip, so, I mean, we're all in the same boat.
All right. A very lonely ocean.
A very lonely boat.
No, but we're not the only ones. No, because, like, people now, they would rather stay home and text each other than go to a bar and hang out or get together.
I guess. I don't know, but are people at home there, or, you know, are there other people around?
I think if they want to advertise to God, better go, hey, God, you can text them whenever you want. I think that's much better. You make it on your terms.
Right.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that there are people who do the mental version of texting God whenever they want. I mean, that's what people do. They pray. That's when they want to get in touch.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. That's the better sales pitch.
Yeah, but God is like a lonely Jewish mom singing home. You only call when you need something, you know? I never hear from you.
Yeah, but you don't want lonely Jewish mom walking in when you're jerking off. I mean, that's what we're saying God does. We don't need that.
Exactly. No, that's a very frightening picture.
And not only that, then 70 years later when you forget about it, he's going to bring it up and remind you of it. Well, you're just trying to get into heaven. You don't, like a Jewish mother, doesn't forget.
Oh, believe me, after all the stuff I've done, I'm going to hell long before he gets to me splashing my sauce all over.
Joe, don't neglect our quality time together!
Yeah, oh, God, Chizzy, shut up, Chizzy, we're on a judgment day line.
It's like Ixnay with the offset.
He knows! I'm one of his children, too!
Judgment day, I'm going to shit my pants because, you know, it's not like traffic court when you try to plea bargain, you bullshit with the DA. You know, I mean, this is like God. It's like the DA. You know, the DA, it's your word against his God.
You know what you do, Joe? Take a page out of the Trump administration. When he calls up and reads all the shit you've done, say, God, these are all process crimes. Nobody died. That's the move, my friend. That'll get you right in. Gotta go, oh, yeah, I guess it's okay then.
Yeah, that's right.
They weren't the big ones.
I'll remember that. I'll keep that and have them put it in the casket with me. This way, when I get up there, I can hand it over. Yeah, the process crime. Oh, really? Where's your MAGA hat, stupid?
Can you imagine you show up and God's wearing a MAGA hat?
Oh, no!
We're gonna spell it differently. We're going to be putting an H in there between where the first A is. What does that mean? Making hell great again. Get down there, stupid.
Hell was always great.
Yeah, and then I'll get down to Satan. Oh, I'm going to torture you. Oh, really, are you? I've been working in construction in the entertainment business all my life. What are you going to do? Oh, you know, there's a Mic Wednesday. You want to do it? Or you can host. And I'm like, all right.
Please. No. Hell is you have to show up at 6 p.m. for the mic at 10, and you have to sign up, and you don't even know if you get on. That's what a hell mic is.
Yeah, but it's like, but once you get on, it's like, oh, well, you're in the show. What's my spot? Number 5,738,000,000,000.
And not only that, when you finally get your spot, the Yankees are in the playoffs, and it's on the television above your head.
Nobody gives a shit.
Oh, my God. I've been there.
Yep, we've all been there.
Yeah.
I can't believe they had a baseball game playing over my head. You know, nothing throws off your timing like people going, yeah, in the middle of what the wind-up, not the pitch.
I tell you, the weirdest thing. Dav, you ever work Circles, or the place that used to be in Staten Island?
I think once.
Yeah, I'm working Circles, and the Jets are in the playoffs. And they're trying, it's a tight game, and they're trying to hold the game. The game's going into the fourth quarter, they're trying to hold the show. I think it went into overtime or something like that. And they're trying to hold the show. We had to go with the Jet playoff game. And I'm there, and I'm not really doing my act. I'm really watching the game with everybody else while I'm on stage.
I feel like this was 2002 against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think so. That's around the time. I'm sitting there going, you know, dogs are fighting. Well, how could he miss that? Where he dropped it? Really? You know?
Yeah. So that's what a hell mic is.
Yeah.
But I got to tell I don't like think twice from doing something bad or stupid because God's watching. It doesn't stop me.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I don't either.
Yeah, neither do I.
No, I mean, I would be more embarrassed having somebody on this plane catch me in the middle of something embarrassing than worry about what's going to happen at some future point after I'm dead.
I really don't think you're worried about it. You share it weekly on the show.
Well, yeah, but I really am a degenerate.
Well, you got to remember, God is forgiveness.
Maybe. I wonder if God's going to know what her real name is when she shows up.
He knows everything.
I don't know. Somebody might get in my stead.
Funny. But no, God will know who you are. You know, God knows you're a good woman. It'll let you go.
Oh, thanks.
Look at Joe being optimistic.
Whatever shit you do on the side slip.
It's like, look, you have to let me in, God. Joe Curry can vouch for me.
Oh, that's
no.
He's down there. He's downstairs doing the mic. Maybe get you a spot.
Did you bring anybody?
Yeah. I tell you, though, Davin, you and a little devil suit, you look cute. Your little pitchfork and stuff.
You know what people used to say about me, which was terrible and offensive? The New Jersey Devils have a mascot who has a little mustache, and they used to say I look like him.
Pee-hee.
It's not funny. Pee-hee. It's not funny.
I don't know what the mascot looks like, but I wouldn't think that would be a terrible thing.
Pip, you sound like you're in the PA Yankee Stadium. Did you do something different with your phone?
No, I didn't.
Oh, hard.
Yeah, Pip, it sounds like an echo.
Oh, no. Let me try to take it off speaker.
Yes, do that, please.
Oh, you're on speaker?
Am I still on the speaker at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, it sounds like shit. All right, well. It is what it is. On the break, we'll fix it. We'll call again, I guess.
Okay.
Ugh. Joe is a good boy and got a landline. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'm even a better boy because I don't use the speaker. I'm holding it in my hand.
Yeah, you're a warrior, my friend.
Yes.
Yeah, you like to hold it in your hand, though.
Yeah, and I got a stomach that's doing cartwheels, too.
Oh.
Oh.
Uh-oh, this sounds like I better be put down. Somebody's going to make modern art.
That's funny.
Don't laugh too much, pal.
Yeah.
Your little Fruit of the Loom fruits are a little worried right now.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. I'll tough it out.
No. All right. Well, if you need to go potty, we can carry on without you. You come
all
back.
All right. Okay.
Or you could take us in the bathroom and you could give us play-by-play.
I think not.
Okay.
It's just going to be me and God.
God's like, would you like a hand with that?
No, thank God. You give me a roll of toilet paper. I forgot it's in the closet.
Poor God comes in all white. Then all of a sudden he's done his little brown spots on him.
No, that stuff that comes right off. It's God.
Okay.
I tell you though, I just like I always said. I wonder about heaven. I mean, it just looks like it's nothing but a big field. That you walk around in with, like, clouds and stuff like that. I mean, is that all you do? I mean, what do you do? I'm going to go pet the lamb today. You know, what do you do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't know. I want to hang out and relax.
You actually want to hang out in hell because it's going to be more fun.
Exactly.
Well, you got to see. It's, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's kind of hot down there. I mean, you know. All the riffraff is down there, so the parties will probably be good, but, you know, nonetheless.
It's not like there's a bunch of loose women hanging out in heaven giving blowjobs on a cloud.
No, I don't think they're there. They're in hell.
Exactly.
All right.
So, you've chosen wisely where you're going. You'll have fun.
Well, when people go, you're going to go to hell, I go, really? I could skip the get acquainted party. There are a lot of people down there.
So this is going to be a nice story about show business. I posted it on Facebook. So I got hired. These people saw me at a temple gig several years ago, a Jewish temple gig, and they sought me out to do their event. And we came to a price, and I emailed them the price, and I wrote up a contract with the price, with the total price. But when I did the breakdown of what the deposit should be and what the balance should be, I shortchanged myself like a maroon. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it. They sent me the deposit. I didn't catch it. And the deposit comes, you know, about a month before the gig. And I didn't catch it. I didn't catch the my mistake until the morning of the show.
Right.
So you know, the show went really well. It was kind of interesting though. Like the woman comes up to me while the opener is on, and I brought a spotlight and everything, and she's going, "Is the spotlight working? Is it doing? No, is it doing what it's supposed to do?" I go, "Well, it's shining a light on him, so yes." That's what it's...
You see that big white ball? It's not the Immaculate Light of Christ. It's...
Especially not in the temple.
But... Yeah, that would have really scared them if it was Christ in the temple.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, we're getting out of here. Here he comes. He's not happy. You wondered what happened.
So I'm like, yeah, it's shining brighter on him. Like, if you're talking about one that follows somebody around, well, that you usually have a second level. They do it in the balcony, and you need to hire somebody to have them follow the performer around. So for your temple, this is perfect.
Yeah, if you want, I can hand Estella over there a flashlight, and she can handle that shit.
Funny you mention a flashlight, Joe.
Oh, no.
No, well, they have a cop. They had a cop there, you know, full regalia protecting because, you know, in this day and age, you can never be too safe. So I'm busting his balls. It's a good spot. All of a sudden, he shines a spotlight on me, and it's pretty bright. I go, hey, do me a favor. If you could stand in the back of the room, Shara, the woman who hired me, would love it. So anyway, so when she's paying me, I go, listen, you know, I made a mistake. On the contract, I'm going to charge you the lesser amount because it's my mistake. But just so you know, if we do this again next year, I have to charge you the full price.
Right.
And she's like, okay, cool. So she gives me a call yesterday, and she tells me that they spoke to the finance person, and they're, you know, they had such a good time. They're going to send me the check for the difference. I thought that was very nice.
Yeah. No. Honesty is the best policy. Like I wrote on there on my Santa Claus booker, she sent me a check. For the same gig, and I wrote her back, and I said, you know, you pay me twice on this. I go, let me know. I go, I have a gig for the same value coming up this weekend. Don't pay me, and I'll just hold on to the check. And then she wrote me back. She goes, look, you're coming from Long Island to do these shows. Just keep the check. Keep the other check. So, you know, honesty is the best policy, you know?
I'll remind you of that. But I agree. It's just nice. It's nice, though. When these things happen, because so often we talk about, like, the bad things that happen in comedy and show business. It's nice when there's good people.
Oh, yeah. No, there's good people out there. I mean, you know, a lot, you know, not many, but there's good people out there, you know, in business, you know?
So then, this I would like to be a new segment on the show called Making Friends on Facebook, because Joe and I have a way of getting into it with people on social media.
I've noticed this.
And I'm not talking about, like, when Joe and I go at each other. I'm talking about when we're going at people we really don't know.
No, I noticed that.
I was still in bed. I wasn't even out of bed on Saturday morning, and I'm in full battle. I'm still in bed. I woke up out of my sleep.
You know what I hate? When you're like on a friend's page and you're commenting on what they wrote and maybe having a conversation with them, and then somebody who you don't know feels the need to tag you so they can respond to you. I don't want to talk to you. That annoys me so much.
Well, it's social media. We're all being social.
But we're not. We're being dicks. If I'm going to be a dick, I want to be a dick to somebody I know and I'm friends with.
Nice. That's the best.
Nice.
Yeah.
What, you guys aren't annoyed by that?
Oh, totally annoyed. When some stranger steps into the conversation and starts yelling at me about nonsense, I don't want to deal with that.
Well, this isn't nonsense. We're solving world problems, dear.
Whatever. Time. Now you got to stop and then argue with them. And go back. And
I must be honest. Most of the time, these people are not as intelligent as I am. I feel comfortable in saying that.
Okay.
They're not. They're not well-versed on the facts.
All right.
And quickly.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Especially when it breaks down into ad hominem attacks.
Yes.
I hate that.
Yeah. It devolves into name-calling, and then I just, you know, I tune them out. Yeah, once in a while, I show them the facts, and then they go back to the little rock where they came from.
Right.
But most of the time, they double down on shit that's just not true.
Yeah.
So, usually, my nemesis on social media tend to be conservatives of the Trump variety.
Right.
Which aren't really conservatives, because Trump's not really conservative, and the Republicans aren't really conservative if you look at traditional conservative values. But that's neither here nor there. That's usually who I'm doing battle with. But I do not discriminate boys and girls. I will go toe-to-toe with the liberals, a pain in the ass, too. How do you like them apples?
Wow.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it came up about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, or the right wing's favorite target. They love to talk about her.
Because she's dumb as a log.
Okay, right. She graduated high in her class in college as a congresswoman at 29, and you got a guy who makes shit up all the time, and she's the dumb one.
You know, a physicist. She's dumb as a fucking log.
Okay. Anyway, I rest my case. Anyway, Pip, Pip, do you hear, like, liberals talking about her unless they're defending her against some attack?
I don't know. Actually, I don't hear them talking about her in offensive terms or really, like, making fun of her or anything.
No, no, I'm saying you hear people. No, no, do you hear liberals talking about her at all unless they're defending her from some attack?
Oh, yeah. Every once in a while, I'll see somebody posting something about how they admire her or, you know, like, there are memes about how strong she is or, you know, how she's, like, the next new wave of, like, new energy.
Okay. I don't really hear liberals talk about her. Only time I really see liberals talking about her is when they're defending her against memes or attacks or something by the right.
No, that's mostly it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because she's like, as far as the people who I associate with, she's not even on our radar because she's just a freshman congresswoman who's like a month on the job, so who the fuck cares? We got bigger fish to fry. There's actually power players, actually people with accomplishments who are doing something. But one of the things that strikes me about AOC, and I don't know if Joe's going to agree with this or not agree with this, but in a lot of ways, she's like Donald Trump, and I use some of Joe's defenses to point this out. We would sit here, Pip and I, and Trump would say these things, and Pip and I would go, well, that's completely ridiculous, and Joe would go, yeah, but he's trying to start a conversation. He's throwing ideas out there. I think that's a lot of what this woman does.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that, sure.
Another thing that they have in common is they both are very good with the social media. They get people talking, so I think they both have that in common.
I would agree with that.
And the third thing they both have in common is in 2015, the media paid way too much undeserving attention to Donald Trump. And in 2018, they pay way too much undeserving attention to AOC. In a lot of ways, she's a creation of the media.
And she's also the anti-Trump. I mean, you know, she is representing everything that the liberal progressives want and feel, you know, and very, very, very far left. Where I don't know if Chuck Schumer is showing his cards, but Nancy Pelosi is, you know, as far left as Nancy Pelosi is, she's like going, oh, brother.
No, no, man. You know what Nancy Pelosi's doing? Nancy Pelosi's brilliant. She realizes all the right and all the media and everything and all the people who post memes and everything are focusing on her, on AOC. So she's like, okay, have fun with the freshman congresswoman who's not really going to accomplish shit unless I let her accomplish shit. I'm going to get shit done and get policy done. That's what Nancy Pelosi's doing. She's no dummy. She's like, let them focus on AOC. I got shit to do.
They might be doing that now. If if she's creating policy that is, you know, in her realm of liberal progressive, AOC is so far left that if you're looking what Pelosi is proposing, it looks like it's a more common sense thing than what AOC is proposing, where that legislation would have a better chance of passing.
So, yes.
Yeah, they're all playing. You know, Trump is playing his card game. Pelosi's playing hers. You know. It's both on both ends of the spectrum. So it's interesting to see how this is playing out. You know how Pelosi's going to play her card.
Well, but here's the different thing. So you want to call her a nitwit? I don't agree, but you want to call her a nitwit. I would definitely call Trump a moron. I mean, the guy admits he doesn't read, doesn't look at his intelligence briefing. But here's the thing. One of them is president of the United States or is vying for that job, and the other is a freshman congresswoman. So AOC has a lot less power than the president of the United States. That's what concerns me. I mean, there's plenty of stupid Congress people on the right, like Louie Gohmert and racists like Stephen King and whatnot. I don't even focus on that shit because they're just one person.
Yeah, but you got to understand where the bases are coming from. Trump got in because, you know, after 8 years of Obama, there was a voice, you know, there was people out there that got sick and tired of all these progressive policies and wanted, America to take a change and be more conservative and more, you know, America first. And that's how Trump got in. Now you have and that was the base that got her in, voted her in. Now with Cortez, she is, a liberal progressive that wants all these social programs, and her base wants those social programs, so they issue her in. you know, even though some.
Well, she's the reaction to Donald Trump. That's what a lot of these congresswomen are. They are the reaction to Donald Trump. That's why when you posted this meme with the four women, all of them brown, by the way, and called them enemy of the people, I said, yeah, well, your boy got him elected. So,
well, you know what? It's all, you know, I mean, you should be concerned about several of them. They hate Israel, you know, so you better be concerned about that.
Listen, the woman apologized, you know, the one. I don't know what they hate or don't hate, but Donald Trump put anti-Semitic shit up when he was running, and he never apologized either. Yeah, and he got elected president.
He's not spending time with Louis Farrakhan and actually making statements, so, you know.
No, he just doesn't know who David Duke and the KKK are. Okay. But anyway.
Sounds like he thinks it's a band that's booked a weekend somewhere.
I believe they're playing at Mar-a-Lago. Great band. Love the costumes.
Great band.
We had him for Halloween. Scariest ghost we ever saw.
David Duke, wasn't that guy from an action movie?
So this is on So this takes place on a mutual friend of Joe's of mine on his page. This is what I'm about to share with you. And this is our friend's post. I told Joe who it was in a text. So he goes, I have been reading a lot of anti-AOC rhetoric on Facebook, and it's pretty disturbing to me how much I think you guys are entirely missing the point on this one. I see things like she's stupid, she's a bartender, she needs to shut up and listen, etc., etc. Try this out for size. Just watch. You all complain about how the system is rigged. This woman who I admire greatly is trying to find a way to expose that and change that. You know, the same argument was made for Donald Trump, by the way, if you listen to what my friend's saying right there. Same argument was made for Donald Trump's trying to expose the rigged system.
True.
She ain't perfect. Nobody is. Same excuses for Donald Trump that we still hear. And opposition research will expose any slight, tiny flaw she might have. Dancing picks anyone. Again, you know, the right complain, oh, now that he's running for president, you're attacking Donald Trump, but he was a Democrat, you didn't care. Same type of argument. It's just interesting. But that's because she scares them and a lot of the centrists who just want everything to be normal again. Well, that ship has passed. Same arguments for Donald Trump. She is the future. Same argument for Donald Trump. Take a look, and if you find something you disagree with here, I have no idea what kind of world you want to live in. Same argument as Donald Trump. So that was my friend's argument, which, Joe, I think you made those same arguments for Donald Trump over the years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, now, you got to remember that Cortez is the same thing, but on the opposite side of
right,
the spectrum.
Right.
Pushing for socialism. Now, whether you agree with the policy or not, it would be foolhardy and not really looking into the situation to say there's no correlation between the two. There is in regards to their policy and how they're going about their business. Yeah, of course.
So here's what I wrote, and this is where things took a decided turn, unfortunately. I go, you're overthinking it. Men always treat chicks that won't bang them like crap, and I put a little wink.
Oh, my God, that's so true.
Thank you. Thank you. A little winky. So somebody writes to me. We'll call her Diane because that's her name. The truth is.
That's brilliant.
Thank you. I'm good like that.
What a disguise.
Well, you know, we all can't come up with fake names, so you do what you can. Anyway. So she writes, the truth is this has nothing to do with chicks and banging, a-hole. It has to do with how men are threatened by a woman with a brain trying to assert herself, being threatening to others who are so insecure that they are threatened. Uh-oh.
Because you got yourself, because now you're displaying toxic masculinity.
Apparently I am.
Yeah, and this is where this whole, you know, where the whole thing about, you know, everybody just going overboard with everything, yeah, it's. I got the same thing when I posted that actually toxic masculinity meme, and this girl I know, actually she hangs out at the compound. She's my buddy's girlfriend. She laid into me, well, you don't know what toxic masculinity is, but I go, no. Watching my father hit my mother, and one time my father broke my mother's nose. I mean, I realized at a very early age, it's a horrible thing. And I wrote this whole thing.
No, I saw the post. I read it.
You know, and it's like, I know what it is, but I don't need, you know, and if you're a gentleman and your friends are gentlemen, you know, you won't tolerate that behavior for somebody that displays that. But I don't need a commercial or, you know, the popular culture to fucking scold me about. So, you know,
my argument to you would be, well, it doesn't pertain to you, so don't worry about it. You know how to behave, but we all know there's plenty of people who don't know how to behave. So, I mean, like, I just ignore that shit. I don't know why you don't ignore that shit. You know you're not that person, but you know there are those people there.
Because you know what? Sometimes, you know, I argue for the guy that winds up the people that will get it out of hand, and that somebody will want be wrongly accused of doing something. Anthony was the perfect example of that. Anthony Cumier, when Anthony never hit this girl or hurt this girl, but wound up sitting in the stir over it because of these false accusations. So I see it from a perspective, and it also happened to Anthony's brother Joe, where thank God Joe had a camera going, where he actually caught his wife setting himself up. So I've actually watched this. So the thing about it is that, yeah, yes, toxic masculinity is a problem, and and it should be addressed. But, you know, sometimes things get so far where, you know, when you're just trying to be a man and women take it the wrong way or have something against you, it works, you know, it can actually hurt you, you know?
Well, see, and what I would say to you is, see, Joe, you just fucking explained it in a very well way what it means to you as opposed to your stupid meme, which is my point about some political memes. They don't explain shit. You just explained why you think the way you do, your experiences differentiating between what toxic masculinity is and falsely accused as opposed to bullshit political memes, which I can't stand. That's my point about political memes, but I digress.
No, wait. If I can add into that for a second, as the vagina American in the room, so to speak.
You're not in the room.
I know. I'm in my own room.
We hear
anyway,
the echo, though. I'll tell you. Is your vagina out? Is that why I hear the echo?
Yeah, it is. It's cavernous, isn't it? It's terrible. I really should put on pants.
Kegel, woman. Kegel.
Anyway, but my point is, I did not like that meme that Joe posted, but what you just explained makes perfect sense to me. I think that
what Joe just explained.
Everybody, when it's explained, everybody understands what's behind the term toxic masculinity. But I think it's such a reductive term, and if they said toxic femininity, even if there was a point behind it, just that term, my knee-jerk reaction is to get angry. And I understand why guys get angry at it, because it's so like painting every man with a broad brush, and that's not fair.
Right, but if you really want to move the needle, you Joe could have put a post explaining why he hates it, just like he did on the radio show, and go, listen,
yes,
you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
That would do a lot more to move the needle and get people to understand why Joe is upset about the term and what he sees, as opposed to a god-awful meme.
You know, yes. So a meme is I look at it this way. A meme is sort of like a setup on stuff I do when I do a commentary about social situations. I will say something, and then, I'll say something, and people are like, oh, and then I will stop, and then I will go into it. To me, that meme, I had no problem with posting that meme. Also, another thing with the whole thing against toxic masculinity, I was married to somebody who was not helping me pay the bills, was sitting around doing nothing. You know, we're trying to sell the house, and every time I would get upset about something, I'll call the police. And my friend who was a DA said, if your wife is stupid enough to call the cops because you raised your voice because she's making your life miserable, and the cops show up, by law, somebody's going to jail, and most likely it's you. So I'm like, I would be help me pay the utilities here, or we're going to go bankrupt. I'm not going to pay anything. I go, you need to. Oh, you're going to raise your voice? I'm going to call.
Hold on a second. We just, as you were saying, Joe.
Your
ex-wife.
Yeah. So basically, what it was is that I'm in a situation where my ex-wife, we're 3 months away from bankruptcy. Okay, and I'm telling her that I need to get, you know, she needs to kick in with money and to help out and with the bills and stuff like that, and she's not doing it. She's like, and I would raise my voice. I go, you understand, we're 2 months away from bankruptcy. I don't have the money. You got to, you know, because you're upset I'm selling that, we're selling out, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm at boiling point. If you yell at me one more time, I'm calling the police. And basically, my friend who's a DA, I was telling my friend the story, and she was telling me, she goes, cops show up at your house. By law, somebody's going to jail that day, and most likely it's going to be you. So you're going to have to sit there and take this abuse. And for 2 years, I sat and took abuse. I had a woman laugh in my face when I told her that there's people coming in 5 minutes. She's got to get ready. She laughed in my face. She laughed in my face when I told her that I needed to, you know, that I need help paying the utilities, that we're dwindling our savings. You know, I had her the last day we were in the house show up a half day and made us late to the closing. You know, I had to deal with this, and I had to sit there and take it, because if I raised my voice, I'm going to jail because I'm a toxic man.
Yeah. No, you know what you should have done? Yeah. You should have shown a picture of her and put toxic femininity. Then you could have had your own little meme.
I think, no, I like the meme, and I stand by it, and I put it up, and I was able to defend it. It's like, you know, it's like a setup in a thing. If you you put out your point, you say something outrageous, and then the audience goes, whoa, and then you explain it and win your point, that's half the battle, and that's half the excitement.
I don't know. Your explanation to me was a SpongeBob gif. And you're like, you don't know what SpongeBob is? I'm like, am I supposed to?
You still don't know what that meant?
No.
I didn't either.
Here's what it means. The fucking thing just popped up out of nowhere. I don't even know how.
What?
So he's lying into me, and I go, you need to look at that, and you need to just for the simple fact that even hippies stop for a minute to figure it out made me laugh.
All right. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Even trying to guess from a cohesive point, what I'm trying to convey. I don't even know I was telling Joe's girl, I don't even know how the fucking thing got there. I'm like, what the hell?
And well, Joe.
He's into me. I go, oh, really? You read this, and you need to explain it, and you get back to me. You tell me what it means, because I don't know.
Oh, my God.
You know what that was? Joe was displaying toxic masculinity right there.
Yeah. It was just, I'm like, where the hell did this come? It has nothing to do with nothing. Then right as soon as I said that, he chimed in. I'm like, I have a use for this.
Yeah, I even like checked the Urban Dictionary like for a second. I'm like, I don't know what this means. Enough. I got time for this shit. But I did check. I did check real quick to see if I was missing something. I must confess.
Well, because you know who Davin is.
Right.
He does his homework.
And basically, we're in the middle of a debate, so he probably figures, well, this has got to be poignant in some way.
I won't make that mistake again. Fuck you. Fool me once. But yeah, he got me to check. I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but I did check. I'm not going to lie.
Joe's girl's not in the chat tonight because she didn't go into work. But I can't wait to tell her because I was talking with her last night. I was telling her about that.
Oh, okay. I wonder where she was.
Yeah, no, she didn't go into work tonight with the weather and stuff.
Joe with his toxic masculinity. Anyway, all right.
There you go.
So this woman responds to me. The truth is, this has nothing to do with chicks and banging a-hole. It has to do with how men are threatened by a woman with a brain trying to assert herself, being threatening to others who are so insecure that they are threatened. Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. You got a live one.
This escalated quickly.
Yeah, well, you know what? I understand why she didn't understand where you were coming from, because she doesn't know you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's like, wow, she came in hot.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see if we can chill her out. Let's see if we can calm her down.
The thing about it is that you know you always have your facts and stuff like that. Now it's going to be a long day. Now you've got to. It is, because now you've got to set up where you're coming from, base your facts. Then you're dealing with two topics now. Now you got to move up to the whole toxic. Because the whole thing about Cortez is one thing. This woman comes in. That has nothing to do with your point, but now you've got to solve your issue with Cortez and then bring up the toxic masculinity thing and explain your case and pray to God that she, you know.
I didn't have an issue. I was just making a funny. I was just having some fun.
Yeah, but now, you know, you try to have your reputation, you know, with debate and stuff like that. You're trying to come back and you're trying to make a point, and you just can't go. What the fuck is your problem? No, you got to come back and you go. You got to have a whole diatribe where you're coming from, where you're not coming that way.
Oh, Joe,
about toxic masculinity.
Joe, you give me way too much credit.
But but I know you, and I know that's the. I would have to take. I had to take that way with that my friend.
Yeah, well, this is how I responded. Good Lord, learn when people are joking. Take off your V hat and have a nice cold beverage and chill out.
Oh, bro.
Oh.
Jesus Christ, why don't you tell her to make do the fucking dishes while you're at it? Make the men coffee.
Well.
I know. Why don't you say go in the kitchen and make me a sandwich, bitch?
Jesus Christ, the men want coffee. That's nice. The men want coffee.
All correct responses. All absolutely right.
Oh, God.
She goes, am I supposed to read your mind through the computer? I go, no, but you're not supposed to call people an a-hole when you're not sure.
There you go.
She goes, believe me, I'm sure. There was nothing funny in your comment. It was sexist and crude. All right, let's well, go on.
Okay.
I'm sure I will de-escalate this.
You got,
I don't know.
You know what? They seem you're talking with a very militant feminist. It seems that you got a militant feminist on your hand, and what you said was what they call a trigger word, you know, and you triggered her. And now you can get your point across. You can make, you know, very good points. But who knows if because they're so militant, you know, who knows if they're going
to
get it?
Well, here's what I said. You know, trying to be the better man. I go, okay, well, trust me. You are why people hate liberals. Most people would consider me left of center, but nobody wants to be yelled at by a troll.
No.
I'm not having it.
Yeah, but see, on that one, you used your word. You know, you should have used more of like a militant feminist or describe it where a militant style feminist that does not want to listen to reason. You know, call her out.
But that would be making assumptions on his part. He doesn't know what she's about either.
No, I don't. I just think she's a twat.
Oh, God.
So she goes, Davin Rosenblatt. She has to tag me on this, so I make sure it gets my attention. Davin Rosenblatt, not a troll. Find your comment distasteful and disrespectful. So because I categorize your disgusting sexual comments wrong, you assume I'm liberal. You know what they say about people who assume. Do I need to go further? FYI, she's part of the Democratic Party in Long Island.
Okay.
I didn't know this at the time, but my assumption was correct, boys and girls.
And this is the radical movement that got Cortez in there.
Possibly, yes.
Yeah, and as much as you say, well, you know, all the racists and stuff like that, that's who was behind Trump? Probably, yes. You know, on the opposite side, you know, and this is what you got to deal with. You know, you're going to have, in your parties, you're going to have that lunatic fringe that's going to come, you know, that's going to be, you know, inspired or whatever, you know, and they try to get, you know, as much as Trump won because they were so outraged over Obama. You have this contingent here that were outraged that Hillary lost, and they had somebody that, you know, that talked to them and told them what they wanted to hear, and they voted her in.
So I go. I wasn't trying to appeal to you. You already admitted you didn't know what was in my mind, and your first move was to name call. If you would have asked, I would have told you I was kidding. You do know the person who I was on page I was is a comedian, right? You do know he's friends with comedians, right? Whether you found it funny is subjective. Your quickness to judge a name call says a lot about you, though.
That was a good point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel like I've gained the upper ground.
Now, stopping right there. If this was if this was being written right now, you know, let's say that I was on the same page and I saw you come, I go, all right, good point, nice folly, something to think about. You know, go to the web, go to Scopes, go to Snopes, go to here, do your research, come back at him. But yeah, very good point. You know,
she goes. She called again. She has to tag me. I called you a name because you immediately took this to the gutter. If that is your idea of funny, and not only wasn't, but it was disrespectful to all women. Oh, good God!
Immediately took it to the gutter.
Yeah. Chicks banging jokes.
Yeah, but so what?
You know what, though, Pip? Because you kind of, you know, all of us on the show, basically, we do political commentary. We put out our show, you know, every week. We push our show. We have something that people know about our show, that when we comment on something, we have to do it as in a way where, look, we're not just, you know, just some schlub posting on it. We do our research. Our show's based on it. We have our debates every week, so you have to respond, you know, respectfully. You just can't go. You want to walk away from it, taking the higher road. and getting the upper hand on somebody that's coming back with you in emotion and not based in fact. So, yeah, and like I was saying to Devin, and this is sometimes where, you know, if I see something, I'm like, I don't have the time. With the whole Cortez thing this weekend, the meeting, yeah, I had the time. Because now he's got to sit and he's got to respond to this, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Right, exactly. That's my point. Yeah.
I go, it was an obvious caricature of people that hate AOC. My friend, our friend, gave his reasoned opinion, and I gave a much less nuanced answer as to why people hate AOC, which Pip verified, by the way. Thank you, Pip. But again, you were unsure of my intent, but you were sure that name-calling a complete stranger on a mutual friend's page, a name, was the tact you should take. So.
Yeah.
So she tags me again. Why the sexual gutter reference? Do you now understand how funny and inappropriate it was? I go.
Oh my God.
So I go, Diane, never go to a comedy show.
Yeah, really.
Please stay home with the Trumpsters that can't handle jokes about our Lord and Savior Agent Orange. You are the type of person who laughs at everything until it is something that you personally don't like, and make sure you let everyone know you are how unhappy you are. All comedians, liberal, conservative, and in between hate that. And so do most adults. Now please go to a safe space where everyone talks just the way you want them to, and make sure you are comfy and cozy and snug as a bug.
You know, this goes back to...
Joe, you just got really low. What happened?
I'm totally... How am I now?
Much better.
All right. Yeah, this goes back to about 4 years ago where I wrote, when they showed that the character of Hillary Clinton as the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I posted on it, and this guy starts laying into me that I'm against women and stuff like that, and I went back, I did a blog on it. And the whole point was not it was supposed to be on policy, her policy. And I'm going back and forth with this guy on every point about I'm not being misogynistic. It's about the guy was like a nut, you know. And I spent about an hour writing back and forth. I spent 2 hours writing a goddamn blog about it, you know, and over this one thing. And this is, you know, once again, over this people are commenting on the page. It's like, it has nothing to do with what you're writing about. It's about politics. I'm like, yeah, no shit. But nonetheless, I had to defend my stance on policy. And then I had to go on the whole thing where I'm not demeaning women over the damn meme, you know. So
you took a much more mature attack. I'm at the point where I'm not having any of this shit. I'm in no mood. Screw this twat.
It's really unusual for you to just, like, instead of trying to explain yourself, lay into this woman, though.
She called me an a-hole out of the gate.
I know.
And the funny thing is that when you sit down and you try, you know, especially when you sit there, you know, you write your response, you look, apply reason, reply fact, you know, your opinion, your gut, you know, on something about, and then, right, no, you're a, right, I'm not, no, God damn it all, I'm not, but you realize that they're just narrow-minded.
So I think the difference between Joe and I is I realize much quicker.
Yeah. But, you know, she's a liberal feminist, and, you know, liberal feminists are so, they're just so enraged that nothing you could say.
I beg your pardon!
No, stop it. There's nothing wrong to be, you know, there's nothing wrong to be a feminist, like I said. And when people lay into me about, you know, about it, you know, I was raised by two women, you know, and I watched my mother, you know, my mother struggled to make ends meet. And I've worked for, you know, I've had bosses that were women. I said, yes, ma'am, and, you know, worked for women and, you know, and had no problem with that. So when people start going, oh, you're misogynist, I'm not. I'm the farthest thing from it.
As long as they get you a beer when you demand it.
Not at my own house. You got to be kidding. Oh, God, no.
Well, you knew where it was. It was either on the bed or in the middle of the table. That's where it was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I was looking at pictures. I was trying to find an old picture on my old iPhone, and I brought a picture. I was taking pictures of my old house, you know, walking around. I lived in an insane asylum.
So she goes.
Stop talking about my house.
Stop it.
So she goes again. She has to tag me. I think this is part of the illness when they feel like they have to write. They have to address the person.
She's trying to shame you. She's not trying to address you. She's trying to shame you.
Oh, I don't think it's going to work, Joe.
No, it's but obviously it's not. But in her, you know. feminist way, you know, she's trying to, shame you.
Well, she puts my full name. This is not a comedy show. And I mean, even if it were, you're not funny. Bunch of exclamation points there. I think I'm getting under her skin, boys and girls. Me likey.
Me likey.
So I go, I know, we all must be serious all the time on Facebook because Diane is running things now on the whole platform. Thank you, Queen D.
It's so patronizing.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've established she's a twat who jumps to conclusions, and I'm patting her little frothing head.
So your whole tact is reason isn't going to work here. Fuck it.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I don't want to win this woman over. I want her to be as insane as she can, and she's doing quite well while still looking classy. Because I've been fairly classy.
Because essentially now, instead of going back and forth, at a certain point in this whole thing, you decide that she's the heckler ruining the show, and we got to rip her apart.
More or less.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I can see that.
So then our mutual friend chimes in.
Uh-oh.
Diane, Davin, like me, is a comedian. He is as liberal as they come. But as comedians, we like to joke about stuff that's not always politically correct. I realize this is a political post and you don't know that about him, but I think you were a little strong on this one. I'm winning the room, boys and girls.
Yeah. Wow. Well, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
So then another.
Yeah, that was good.
Then another comedian who we know, Mike, goes, Diane Steiner, he tags her, please go see Davin Roosevelt, tags me, do a show, and please sit up front and let me know when it's going to happen.
me too. I'll cancel shit.
Oh, no, I have to see this.
She's good for business.
Is he a Fragile Sky show? There's no keyboards tonight? No, he's at a show. And he told us to go fuck ourselves. He's going.
There's a rock'em sock'em throwdown at a comedy show he had to see.
So then she responds to him, puts his full name. You may or may not be a comedian, but your comment was crude, rude, and trash in my book. You reply to Harry's political commentary, not his comedy act. Now go away! Uh-oh.
God,
oh.
Is that Ann Jackson?
Yeah, I know.
Davin.
So, Mike, the other comedian, goes, Diane, rude, crude, and trash. Please explain. I didn't reply to Harry's commentary. I didn't have to. I like what he wrote and would add that it seems that most of the people who have a problem with AOC not being a true politician voted for a non-politician because he's not a politician. So now Mike is actually taking the approach that Joe thought I was going to take, try to win her over.
Yeah.
But you should absolutely go to as many comedy shows as you can, and please sit up front. I just think it would be awesome if you went to see Davin Rosenblatt.
So that was, Mike, is it the last initial K?
No.
Okay.
Well, this is a hell of a way to take out your other comedians, is to, invite hecklers to their shows.
Oh, because he knows I'll rip her a new asshole.
No, this is going to be fun. No.
Oh, no, I know, but I mean, that would be a good tactic.
I know, but we're leading a slam, we're leading a lamb to slaughter.
Yes, we are.
Yes, that's... I know that. I'm not new here.
Right.
So then she tags my friend whose page this is. Women continue to fight to be respected in what is till very recently a man's world. I am tired of men when a woman is trying to build a respected reputation thinking it's okay to reduce the situation down to a crude sexual remark. Second, how really liberal is a guy who reduces someone's comments down to that's why people hate liberals? Well, I was right. Sorry, a reference to chicks and banging...
She just answered her own question.
Yeah. I never said I'm a liberal.
No.
Sorry.
Left of center, but I mean, a lot of conservatives would definitely peg you as a liberal.
Yeah.
When that guy whose page it is mentioned that, you know, you have the similar views, we all know that his views are very liberal. So if he's saying that you have the same views, obviously that would be the assumption there would be your liberal view.
Right.
Right.
She continues, sorry, a reference to chicks and banging with regard to a newly elected congresswoman is disgusting. No, it's not. She looks good.
Yeah.
Not trying.
Well, I mean, I understand what she's saying is reducing her down to her sexual component rather than taking her her. You know,
by the way,
abilities into account.
By the way, the original comment was they're angry because she won't bang them. So I wasn't really reducing her. I was reducing the guys that are angry at her. I actually I lifted her up. I'm saying she's too good for them. But this twat doesn't understand.
No, she's not getting it.
It's the same thing that I went through with the Hillary Clinton meme. I'm talking about policy or how they react to, you know, their ignorance. Is, you know, that masculinity thing. Actually, you're kind of calling out toxic masculinity because she won't bang them.
Yes.
Actually taking the side of toxic masculinity. So for her to call in and say, you know, don't you understand that I'm calling out toxic masculinity?
And I explain that to her. I guess it's a caricature of the people that hate AOC. But she's dumb. She's in full froth.
I would have put the SpongeBob thing in there and have her try to figure it out.
At this point, I was not privy to SpongeBob. This was on Friday, Joe. SpongeBob did not enter my life until Saturday. So
you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Davin, but I think that we should try to make that SpongeBob meme like viral. As just put that in there and make people try to understand what it means.
I like that idea.
You know.
I like that idea.
You just write, and you know, and just have everybody have their opinion. Put the goddamn thing up there.
That's actually a funny bit.
I can laugh out, boy. But you want to know something? We'll probably get you and I will probably get in a fucking debate with somebody about it. You know?
Right? No, it doesn't mean that. So I go. So how many hearts and minds do you change by name-calling and jumping to conclusions?
Yes.
I think I've maintained the higher the ground here.
Yeah.
You did. You slipped a little when you went comic, but, you know, for the most part. But you slipped, but you dropped your guard a little bit because there was just no reasoning with her. So fuck it. Yeah. No comic.
And then she blocked me.
Yeah.
So then Mike, the other comic, goes, Davin Rosemont, thousands. This was meant for me, right? Because she's gone and removed herself from the conversation. Now we look crazy. You're welcome. Sorry to our friend that's the pages is. I go, we are crazy. She blocked us. There's a nice, cozy safe space where everyone expresses themselves just like her, and comedy died in the war of 1812, and Maroon 5 is too risque to be on network television.
Oh, boy.
So, next time you see me dispose of a conservative or a Trumpster, keep in mind that I take it out on my own side too.
Yeah, you'll probably bring that up one night. One day, yeah, I'm sure you will.
No, but like somebody on your page said my narrative. I'm like, I don't have a fucking narrative, you idiot.
Yeah,
I call an idiot.
Right.
Your narrative, but what? What would you suppose your narrative would be in this instance?
I think it was on the Joe's toxic masculinity thing. Like, I have a narrative. I'm like, no.
No.
But the one takeaway from this is that, you know, with all the people that on the right that, you know, you claim are Nazis and this, that radical right that, you know, that are racist and this, that, and the other thing, you have these people on the left that are radical leftists.
Nobody ever denied that.
You know, this woman is a radical feminist that just is so, you know, triggered by anything that they think could be a misogynistic statement. They're just going to go, they're not going to listen to reason either.
Yeah, she.
What's the problem with it? I mean, she might have had some valid points, but when she's just starting in with the name calling and like throwing barbs without listening and not even trying to understand, she kind of completely evaporated her point.
Once a person explains that there was a misunderstanding and that we're actually on the same side, a normal person would apologize for the name calling, go, oh, I misunderstood. And that would be the end of it. But this person was no normal, so I had the bear angry. I might as well keep on poking it.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying before. You know, it's like, it's good. Fuck it, I'm going to have fun.
Yeah.
You know?
And I say bear because I feel like she doesn't shave or wax. I just feel that.
Oh, my God.
What?
It's winter.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I guess somebody has a full can of Nair somewhere.
Pip got an extra cat. Well, it's not really a cat, but it's as big as one.
This one. Yeah. And it doesn't meow. I like milk.
Actually,
but when it's happy, it gets a little milk mustache. But anyway, that's a different story.
Actually, for the middle of winter, my shit's maintained right now. But I'm just saying.
For the middle of winter.
Let it slide.
What do you, for the middle of winter, what, the seven dwarves aren't living in there? Is that what you mean?
I'm just saying that there's not going to be shaving every day like in the summer.
Shaving every day? Wow, God bless you. That's excessive.
No, it's not.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of maintenance.
Really? Good for you. You're a good woman.
Good grooming habits.
No, I have a whole new respect.
I'm just saying that, like, shaving your legs, shaving your pits, there's a lot to do.
Every day?
Every day.
Ugh.
Good grooming. You watched that film strip in fifth grade. Good girl.
You know what? You know what? I'm glad the women are taking over. You guys work much harder than we do. I must be honest. We don't got time for that shit.
No, hell
oh,
no.
Oh, God.
Hell no.
Well, we actually have the time, but we're too busy picking our asses and scratching our balls. So,
that's
cool. Well, I mean, if I had to shave balls, I would be in there all day. That's a dainty job.
But to do it every day, and you're fair-skinned.
Yeah, the legs take a long time.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
God bless you, woman. New respect for you. New respect.
I have the battle wounds to prove it's a tough job.
But you're doing that for Mr. Healy. But you're doing that for Mr. Helix. That's not for you. If it was you, you'd look like a grizzly bear.
Yes, pretty much.
No, you're a good wife. Good for you. You bring home food, and now that you're not here, that means Mr. Helix starves tonight, and you shave every day in the summer. So you know what? You deserve the winter off. Good for you.
Well, you know what? Those pictures of Sasquatch, that was me on the winter. You can't maintain that all year.
No, I think it's ridiculous that you do it every day.
It's a pain in the ass.
Just get electrolysis. Call it a day.
Oh, my God. Do you know how much that would cost?
It's worth it, though.
It's one and done.
Think about all the free time you'd have to do nothing.
Electrolysis. She says that it got that much. It's probably like Frankenstein's lab.
I don't get it.
Yeah, tell me about it. No, seriously, I went for electrolysis on this little spot on my chin.
Right.
And number one, I had to keep going back. Number two, it's fucking painful. Number three, that's a lot of time that you have to schedule an appointment when it's like, I got a life to live.
Yeah.
So was it by the hair of your chinny chin chin?
It was by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I had this spot that started coming in. I called it my quarter because it was about the shape of a quarter.
Oh.
And these man hairs started pouring out of there. I'm like, what the fuck?
No, you know what, Pip? You handled it completely wrong. You should have started playing saxophone and called yourself a jazz musician. You would have been fine.
No. It was asymmetrical.
Get yourself a little beret.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. It was not like the little, like, soul patch. It was, like, on my chin, on the left, like way asymmetrical. It would be like a little witch beard.
Wow, that looks groovy, man. your name is not Pip no more. It's Chet.
Yeah, get yourself the little round sunglasses. That'd be nice.
Yeah, totally. I would have to learn sax, though.
That's all right.
And then say cool inspirational shit between tunes.
All right.
My new name is Beatnik Beard.
Right.
Went too far. Anyway, okay. On the break, we got new music from, oh boy, this is unfortunate. Claudia, I'm sorry, I was reading it wrong. Let me start that again. Well, because I misread the last letter in her name.
Gotcha.
Oh.
Don't be a toxic man.
I would have been a toxic man. So okay. I'm starting over. On the break, we have new music from Claudia Balla with Fire. And you can, I didn't get the A. I put another letter there. But anyway, you can learn more about her at deucemusic.com. Claudia Balla Fire. We'll be right back with the Valentine's Day anti-love fuck-up countdown. Don't go anywhere.